You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hello, thank you so much for being here. We are backstage at the Phoenix. I've always wanted to say that. With Rep RT.
We've always wanted to say it too, and now we can.
Dreams are coming true tonight.
This is such a glamorous space if you can't picture it.
It's everything I've ever imagined.
I'm definitely warming up here, for sure.
10 feet by 10 feet by 12 feet.
Six bathrooms here. Jacuzzis in each bathroom.
Marble countertops.
Soft light fountain
over there. There's a puppy fountain over there. Yeah, just like these spreading puppies.
There was even soap in the shower.
Wow.
Gillette?
Luxuries.
Come on.
So hi. Hi. Thank you so much for being here. I'm truly a long time fan.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, as you know, because we've seen each other for the first time at the Lon Yavani Music Festival, which is one of my favorite music festivals.
That was a while ago that we got.
That was a long time ago. That was with Huron and Baby Evil, maybe? I don't even remember. Was it 2010?
I don't think so.
What do I know?
Yeah, sometime between 2013 and 2016.
Oh, okay.
Longer away than that if we played it.
But I couldn't say that.
Were we playing?
I never played Lon Yavani.
Okay, then maybe I just saw you. Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. I saw you a bunch of times in Halifax, but then I ran into you at the festival.
Okay, cool. Right.
And we were like, I love your lipstick. I love your lipstick. Yeah, so when I heard that you guys were playing,
cool.
It was like interview request, repartee.
Nice.
Congratulations on your nomination for best pop group.
And win.
Yeah, we are.
And win! Congratulations. Did I say nomination? Because I've done.
That's okay. We actually didn't know. We were like taking our gear off. Yeah.
You just found out.
Yeah. People like came back and they're like, you won.
Yeah, we're like, we didn't win. Did you see all the other people that were part of that?
Yeah, we didn't see you go up and accept the award for the guitar, and I was probably texting with Vanessa, being like, so when are we going to talk to our team? Yeah. No, I was very patient. I didn't say that.
We didn't even know about the guitar until much afterwards.
Yeah. Well, shit, congratulations.
Thank you.
So, just so you know who we are, our podcast is called Muses and Stuff, and we celebrate fans, groupies, muses throughout rock and roll history. Try to give a voice to the people more behind the scenes.
Cool.
Yeah. So when you hear the word groupie, what What do you think of?
You can be honest. I can see him like
almost famous. Mm-hmm. Fall around band.
It's Stella P. Hudson's birthday today.
Is it?
Nice. Yeah, so she played a groupie and she's a real life groupie.
Cool, fun fact. Okay.
To be completely candid, I struggle with that term a little bit because I think that there is a lot of heavy negative connotations for women in that role. And I think for a while there was a real divide between groupie and band, and it was very much men and women. And where I still think there is like a pretty big divide, I think it's obviously better than when the term was coined back in the 70s. There's a lot more women. Not a lot more, but there's some more women in music now.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of the term because of the baggage that comes with it. I think it's still a little bit gendered, but I don't know. I haven't really met anybody that has been like a self-proclaimed groupie. So enlighten me. Yeah.
That's basically what we're trying to do. We're trying to enlighten people that men can be groupies too. For us, groupie isn't like a singular term. It doesn't mean something sexual. It can mean something sexual. It doesn't always.
Right.
Men can be groupies too. I'm sure there are men that go to your shows and ask for your photo. We just saw that happen.
Okay, cool.
And ask for your autograph. I mean, that's a level of groupiedom too, right?
Cool. So what's the difference between a fan and a
groupie? We've asked that before. So, for example, I've seen you around now for years, right? But I'm not a musician. I hadn't really done too much in the festival in terms of offering anything of like my own art. And I think sometimes maybe if you just go to shows and you're enjoying the band and you buy the t-shirt and that's a fan.
Right.
And I think that the groupie wants
just a little more, a little bit more connection.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Maybe like someone tweeting, someone asking for an autograph, like someone who wants to talk to you guys and like have that connection personally.
Okay. Yeah. And then again, when I walked up here, I saw that Kate was here and Ryan was here.
Yeah.
And we're like, what are you doing here?
Right.
So somebody who just simply hangs out with fans, who knows them, who's a friend of the band, who's a supporter, who like is
nice.
You know, I saw you guys and girl.
And like you were saying, the term groupie has this negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like if you separate like a fan from like the sexual groupie,
right,
you're automatically putting a negative on the sexual one.
Yep.
And
yep.
That should be their choice. And
right.
That shouldn't have anything to do with.
For sure, yeah, I can get behind that. Yeah, whether or not it's negative.
Yeah.
That's what, yeah, for sure.
So the groupie term came to be in like the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So Pamela DeBar was one of
the Dick cast, right?
That was the Plastercasters, but they're friends. Yeah, Cynthia Plastercaster.
Oh,
Pamela went to go visit Cynthia in Chicago.
Pamela wrote "I'm with the Band."
Right. Yes. Yeah.
But Frank Zappa was like the one guy that was like, I see what they're doing, they're awesome, and they were, you know, taking their birth control on Sunset Strip, and they were, you know, like, sexual revolution,
mm-hmm.
and they did what they wanted.
Right.
And they were kind of, so Frank Zappa called them, like, pioneers that were at the avant-garde of the sexual revolution.
Oh, cool.
So it was a very celebrated term for
right.
a while.
Yeah.
You're a groupie? Cool. Kind of the same thing like, oh, you're really cool.
Right.
And then it got tarnished over the years, and then because of, there was, like, some, like, sex negativity and sex shaming, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 80s happened. So basically our podcast is just going through the decades and figuring out what happened,
when, and reclaim
the word.
Nice, interesting. Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of the 70s, who are your like 70s or 80s rock gods? Like who are you a fan for or a groupie for?
The
70s.
Or whatever you like, identify most with.
Easy one is Zeppelin, for me.
So
Zeppelin.
Pamela sat on their amp on the side of their stage and wore their big, you know, what were those big bangles that they had? The big turquoise ones. Four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh, fun.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think 70s band is Pink Floyd. Yeah, you know, especially going through, like, the, a lot of the like introduction of like psychedelic synthesis and everything like that, you know, it's not necessarily a style that we're playing too heavily, but definitely, you know, that idea of soundscape is definitely a big one for me.
Are you like a pre or when Syd Barrett was in the group, or like a post Syd Barrett Pink Floyd
band? I'm a pre. I
agree. Somebody asked me that the other day too, and I agree. So Michelle Overman dated David Gilmour, and she's going to be on our podcast at the end of May.
Oh, fun.
Cool!
Yeah,
right. Cool.
We knew a cat named David Gilmour.
Hey,
different guy.
Thanks, there as well.
So, getting back to your band, before you came on, the host of the event tonight mentioned that your motto, so to speak, is get out there and dance like no one's watching.
Oh yeah, there was a fuck in there, like dance the fuck out of something.
Well, dance like you don't give a fuck who's watching.
Right.
You've toured around now. What city has the best dancers?
Kelowna
is awesome.
We
adore
Kelowna.
Yeah.
I mean, just like how beautiful that city is and how beautiful the people are there. Everyone is kind. Mm. We have great shows there. Like everything about it. It's just like for us, like we, like from the first time we played there in 2013, was it?
Yeah.
We were blown away by like how fun the crowd was and stuff.
Yeah, it was
like,
nuts.
Like probably our first like sold out show outside of like the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, and it was just because they just love life there.
Yeah.
You know, like it was, you know, like, and yeah, it was a ball. Like that place was great. Fredericton, the Capitol complex in Fredericton, New Brunswick is also a place that we always adore. And that, like, just the people there and that, like, Savannah that comes out to like every one of our shows.
And
in Fredericton?
Oh, yeah, so,
Awesome,
yeah.
You know, like, it's just, yeah, it's
groovy.
Crazy.
Groovy! Right? Yeah, he's a groovy.
Oh, totally, yeah,
totally
yeah, absolutely.
True.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. John's, too. Like, back home.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like
big.
Yeah, but you
party
up.
Yeah, they totally.
Especially being away now from it and everything. I'm kind of going back there and stuff. It's just like a party for us
reunion
as well. Yeah, it's like, hey!
Yeah,
we're back.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
We've been at the like CMW now for two nights, and today I was already like, oh, I'm exhausted. I don't know how they do it. And I was in bed at like 12:30 last night. So,
so late.
Do you? I know. I know. So, do you have any? Just to keep your, you know, when you're on tour, and you like need to keep it going. Do you have any special rituals? Any like anything that you drink? Like, what are you doing to keep healthy and like to keep just to?
Well, in general,
keep that beautiful skin on the road under these circumstances and conditions.
Thank you. In general, we all kind of like lay off booze. We try to like get out and. On days off, also just like rest and take the day off. Like we're not a big partying band, and
I'm not a big partying groupie. Like we just had an episode on what it's like to go to shows and be like a sober groupie, and
right,
it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's almost like sometimes it feels like a necessity. Like it's hard to, you know, when you're hungover in the van, it's a fucking nightmare, you know? I mean, it's kind of a nightmare anyway, like a 14-hour drive to Thunder Bay. You don't want to be hungover for it, right? So it's like, you know.
It sounds like the road to hell. Just waiting to, like, get there, but just hour after hour.
Yeah, it's tough. I have a final question, unless you have one.
I have a final question, too.
Okay.
Say it at the same time.
You go.
I was going to ask, do you have a favorite social media that to connect with your fans or communities? Twitter, Facebook?
I think like, in my opinion, I'd say Instagram is a lot of fun. You know, it's great. Like Meg has been toying around a lot with, like, kind of just being creative with like, changing either colors or maybe highlighting some colors and that with it. So we've kind of been kind of
trying to find ways in which you can cycle through Instagram and just kind of see it as like a product or you know, just kind of like, you know, like
its own piece of art.
Yeah, exactly. It's really fun to just kind of like just build a collection and start, you know, like once a dozen pictures are up and they have the same theme, whether it's like a certain color or something that's like, you know, like there's like a while that Meg was working on like shading, so like there would just be like one thing in the picture that looks in color and everything else was black and white, and doing different things like that, and you know, now like we're kind of going through different color shades that kind of go along with the band, so it's a lot of fun to do that, and it's also it's really cool also to kind of showcase, like, you know, photographers that come to our shows and take great pictures, and you know, it's just kind of like, okay, we play the music, and it's just another way to kind of like show the band, and you know, like how we are on stage, and everything really captures that. So that is definitely, I mean, in my opinion, I feel like that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah, right? All the social medias, that's definitely the most artistic, the one that you can like.
Certainly, it's pretty captivating for a picture to be there, you know?
Yeah. Like,
you know.
I guess, like, in a sense, it's the most natural, at least for me, you know, I find you got a camera on your phone, so if you see something kind of silly, you might take a picture of it and send it to your friend and say, like, this, or you have, like, some sort of, you know, like, quirky quip along with it. I mean, Instagram is just kind of like that, but not just to one single friend, but in that sense I find it's the most natural to show a lot of people, like, hey, saw this, gonna tell you this about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that to me, just in terms of how I interact with my friends, that seems the most natural way to show other people, like, well, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing today or whatever, you know, and that's, you know, it's just kind of seems to happen the most naturally.
Like, trying to, like, 130 characters, be like, we put this whole fun.
Yeah. At the same time, as well, it's kind of almost like a challenge to kind of be able to figure out these other platforms, like something like Twitter and that, like, because there are people that are very captivated by that as well. So it's just like, you know, trying to widen that, you know, I definitely do think that we kind of focus a lot on Instagram, but at the same time, we do try to, like, see, like, okay, how can we, you know, how can we generate fans and kind of keep up with our fans that are more Twitter-based or, you know, more Facebook-based or whatever, you know, like, different generations, it seems like, you know, like, Facebook is more so for our generation and people older and that, and so that hits a completely different crowd than Instagram is for a lot of younger people and, you know, like, you see, like I have people on my Instagram that, that, like, are younger than we are and get hundreds of likes just on a picture within minutes, and it's just like, you know, that's the kind of demographic for that. So being able to figure out everything is definitely pretty important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody is probably needing to go get some fresh air. So I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I'm feeling good. So I think probably that's wonderful. I'll tell you my last question later. Well, are you going to go see Denise Donlan speak tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
I'm working tomorrow.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But I love, that woman is an incredible inspiration. I actually met her last year at the Canadian Country Music Awards. She's like a woman who's like basically the crown of Canadian media. She was like, like the director of Much Music, I think, for years.
Yeah, she like ran the show there. She was the first female to at Sony Music. Like,
And she has an incredible book.
Yeah.
It's called "As Fearless as Possible Under the Circumstances."
Oh God,
and she has
that.
One chapter in a book that says "Respect thy roadie and respect thy roster."
Amazing.
So I was just gonna say, like, now that you are the winners of, you know, Best Hockey for the Year, and you guys are gonna get huge and famous, what's gonna be like your thing on your roster?
Oh,
like, you have like a couple of like chickadees in your.
I would love that. Like, imagine if you came to every show and they just had puppies there.
Oh, what a dream!
Well, the worst thing about it,
a separate room.
I would just want to have all the puppies though. So I'd probably like try.
With all of them.
Yeah, I fell in love with.
We tried to get you to play.
And like, we tried, like, I would like steal all the puppies and take them to the van with us.
Oh,
you know?
My God,
van!
And tour would be like 100 puppies.
And in a week, it would be like, how? Like, why are there so many puppies in here?
You shut your mouth.
Well, thank you.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, it does. And this has been Paradise. Thank you so much. Could you introduce yourselves one more time for everybody?
Yeah. Well, like one at a time?
One at a time.
Wait, one, two, three.
Nick.
God.
Nick.
Yelled. I'm Nick. I play drums.
Josh, I play synthesizers.
I'm Robbie. I play guitar.
Meg, and I sing. And I'm Shanti.
And I'm Lynx.
And thank you so much for listening. This has been Muses and Stuff, and this has been Rap RT.
Yay! Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.